Good evening. And greetings to you all from India, from a small community called Halba. As you see there, Halba is a tribal community and they speak Halbi. The language is Halbi. We went there in 1982. We started the ministry. It is 36 years ago. And now things have changed very much there. And as you all know, there is so much restrictions on Christian activities. Like you heard about Sam Thomas. And many others are facing similar problems. But God is greater than all our problems. So we praise God for that. So within this 40 minutes, 35 minutes, yeah, we have to finish. So I will go through it quickly. And most of it is heading is given. So easily you can follow that. So we will look at this slides. Village people in 1985, when we went there, they were looking like that. Am I blocking somebody? Oh. Pardon? No, no need of light. You can turn that also off. Yeah, that's better. And at present they look like this and they have more clothes and more civilized. It is a market scene and you can see the lady here in a disposable cup. It is made of leaf, not what you get here. But they use that only once. And in that it is liquor, so they have a social meeting when they come to the marketplaces. And that is very popular there. It is a red ant. I don't know, you have it here. You have black ants and we have red ants. So it is very delicacy there. And if you know about mango taste, you know, the raw mango. So it tastes something like that. And that is a waterfall in our place called Chitrakoot. It is called the Niagara of Chhattisgarh. And that is another waterfall called Tirathgarh. And this is the way people travel. So no need of seat belt. You can sit on top of the jeep. So the police won't stop you. So you can go. And even ladies will climb up on the top of the jeep, put their luggage, and that's the way people go. And there is only one jeep going to the one village. So if you don't fit in somewhere there, you have to walk. So people find a place to adjust. That is that shaded area is called Chhattisgarh, and this is a kind of central India bordering with Andhra Pradesh, Orissa, Maharashtra and Madhya Pradesh. So that state came to being in year 2000. Earlier it was part of central India, Madhya Pradesh, and now bifurcated into Madhya Pradesh and Chhattisgarh. That is a map of Chhattisgarh, and Raipur is the capital of that. That is Bastar district, and this place we are staying and doing Bible translation. So we are involved in adult education. You have to teach people to read and write. Because when we went there, Halbi was only a spoken language. So now it is reduced to writing, and we will come to that later on. So training adult education teachers, and the village chief inaugurating an adult literacy program in Keshalur village. And this is my wife, Grace. And we conduct adult literacy class for the people. And that is a program called Literacy for All. Then we started Bible translation. These are the members of the translation team. The main one, we have local pastors helping with the checking of the translation, the clarity, the language, and so on. So it is a teamwork. So releasing story of Jesus. So we have started with the small books and individual scripture portions. Then we have the whole New Testament. So these are some of the books we have published before. And you can see here a picture with mosquito. So that is actually a health book. So we have published so many titles on regarding health books. This is a releasing of the Gospel of Luke and consultant checking, releasing of Hebrew, Book of Hebrew and Revelation, and dedication of the Halbi New Testament. So many believers came for the dedication, and children performing dance. And this is the dedication of the Halbi New Testament. The district superintendent of Methodist Church came and released, and so many local pastors and Catholic priests, many were present for the occasion. And we have published a Halbi Hindi English dictionary for this language. This is widely used in the schools. This is checking the script for Jesus DVD. We have now Jesus DVD in Halbi. It is a powerful tool for evangelism. And church planting, this is the first church we started. Only a few people were there. Now we have few baptisms. And after that, now this is our present church building we have. So the ground floor we use for a church and a parsonage. And the top we are using for a translation and other program. This is outreach, going out to the village and then going over to the remote villages and coming back. This vacation Bible school for the kids. And we have few meetings in our campus. This is Chhattisgarh Brethren Youth Camp. And here you see another scene of the camp. And ministry to the children. So we have Thokapal Child Development Center established in 2004. So it was run by Compassion International. So as you know, Compassion is no more in India because the present government did not give them permission to receive funds from abroad. So all those projects had to be closed down. So about 80,000 children are affected because of that. So Sam Thomas is also facing similar problem. So all those Christian activities are being restricted or even stopped by the government. So we had more children in the program. and that is our campus. And now we take care of 50 children. This is children caring for age 3 to 5, and this is children age 6 to 8. So, by the support we get from our prayer partners, we are looking after these kids. They all come from very, very poor families. If you don't take care of them, they cannot go to school. The parents cannot help them. And we give all their needs at home and school. So we, older children, when we had compassion project, we take children out to show them, you know, exposed to another cities and so on. So we celebrate Independence Day. So all the village leaders will come. And we have a lunch together. And this is some of our spiritual activities. We have a vacation Bible school. So we have prepared material in their language. So that is widely used by the village churches. And we have a Christmas celebration every year in our center. And we invite all the village people. So they come and you can see them, you know, they sit like that. You know, we don't have chairs. And if we put chair, only half of the people can be accommodated. So they come and we present the gospel, Christmas story, dramas, singing, dance. And so they come to enjoy that. And after that, we have a Christmas lunch with them. And that way, the gospel is presented to the people. And also, we care for their parents. We have a parents' health checkup, parents' yearly health checkup, and doctors checking them. And from 2013, we have a wider community health camp. So, few people from states also came over, and we have covered about 20 villages, and so many patients came to attend that camp. It was for a week, and while they wait to meet the doctor, the gospel will be presented to them by the local pastors, and even those who came from here, that is translated for them. So, an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And in 2016, we conducted the second health program. It was sponsored by Gospel Missions of India, GMI. And those who came for that were welcomed. You can see a few people you might recognize. This is James. This Rosie here, and this is my daughter, she lives in Michigan, this is my wife, and these are those who, this is also another sister, Anna, and this is another sister, she is a gynecologist, so like a family thing, and others also join, and we conduct a health camp for the people. So that is widely accepted, and the pastors are cooperating with us, and always they ask when is the next camp. So we are going to have a camp in October, so you could be praying for that. Here also people come and sitting down to listen to the word. And the team who came, we take them to village churches, and that is a kind of a church meeting. Actually, they gather in that room. So when they had visitors, they put that out so they all could sit there. So these are some of the prayer praise item. completion of Halby New Testament, the community-based program like Vacation Bible School, adult literacy, health medical camps, production of health compost material. So prayer points are written there. Now we have started with the Old Testament, Psalms completed. We are working on Genesis, and we want to complete the Old Testament next 5 years. So please pray for that. This is my family. David and Tanya, Grace, my wife, Esther, granddaughter, and Abigail, granddaughter, Christine, daughter, and son-in-law, Binoy. So this is our address in India. And to get tax deduction, exemption, and for a proper receipt, those who want to contribute to the ministry can send their gift to Gospel Missions of India, and they will forward it to us. So last time when they came for a medical camp, just showing the welcome in the traditional way.
Ray Thomas marked the beginning of Halby Bible translation in Bastar district of Chhattisgarh, India in April 1982. Babu holds a postgraduate degree in political science and has theological and linguistic training. Grace holds a master's degree in theology and linguistics and has degree in teacher's training course. After an initial survey, they decided to live in Dharampura village and started to learn Halby, then only a spoken dialect.
So, how did Bible translation come into your mind?
Yeah, I've been exposed to many stories of Bible translation, and also expatriates came from abroad, and I was exposed to the process of Bible translation. And I prayed about it, and where God gave me a burden, and that's how I started with the Bible translation.
The community called the Halbas. The people group called the Halbas speak Halby. The Halba population comes up to 12 lakhs. Since Halby is the language of wider communication, various other tribal communities also speak this language. They mainly live in Bastar division of Chhattisgarh state, India. They are scattered through the neighboring states of Maharashtra, Odisha, and Madhya Pradesh. Their main occupation is fishing and cultivation. Many gather produce from the jungle and sell it in the market for a living. Their literacy rate is below 30% and live in poor villages. Language learning. So how did they learn this language? Babu and Grace learned the language by eliciting data from different people, enacting the verbs and using that in small sentences. They then analyzed the sounds of the language called phonology and invented tentative alphabets. This went through multiple revisions. They then analyzed the grammar of the language and the phonology to make the grammar systematic. They also spent time studying the culture, customs, and religious beliefs or the worldview of the community.
So, one thing I would like to understand is, why did you have to learn the culture the customs and the religious beliefs. Well, how does that affect your translation?
Actually, the words of the language is developed from the custom, culture and the religious background.
Oh, okay.
What they already are using. So when we learn their culture and custom and religion, we really get to know their thought pattern. Why do they believe like that? Why do they think like that? Why do they act like that? So actually the real translation, we call it like, we give a short form of it. It's like Kena. In that, Kena, the four letters represent that translation should be clear, accurate, natural, and acceptable.
Oh.
So in order to know their language and the... They say that because the rain came, doing it. So we were literally translating what is said in the scripture as it is in the translated material. So you cannot keep old wine in the new
wineskin. Yeah.
But in order to, after knowing the culture, taking alcohol, they store it in tuma.
What is this tuma?
Tuma is a outer shell of a gourd, which is grown in naturally in every village.
After becoming fairly proficient with the language, they started with a literacy program for people to read and write in the local village after preparing primers and then extending the program to neighboring villages. The various process of translation called trial materials, translating trial materials, consultant checking, publishing trial materials, distributing to people, getting feedback, revising the materials, understanding local music to compose songs.
Because it has been a tedious thing for long years. How long did it take?
It is actually more than we anticipated. And it took us almost 25 years.
Wow, that's long.
The reason was because first when we
translated the Halbi New Testament, working for more than 25 years.
Well, we talk about so many things. This is something which is literary, which is something which is literary, which is something which is educational. So what way have you all contributed to the social and educational development of Bastar?
Well, that's a good question. It takes some time to get into various activities. After knowing the community only, we can do that. So after learning the language, we were not in the area.
And did it also affect your personal family life in some way?
Yeah, true. We lost our daughter when she was 2 years old because of cerebral malaria. So that also gave us, you know, a burden to do this kind of medical help. So we worked with the medical department and made various books. And not only that, we conducted a couple of medical camps for the whole villages, and people came for that medical camps. And on social side, you know, we need to help the poor. So we started a child development center, and we had up to 300 students, and that program in a small way it is going on now because of restrictions. And in the field of education, we have worked with the education department, with the government. We help them to produce Halbi primers from grade 1 to grade 4, which is taught even now in schools. So as we learned the language and we worked on it, German came side by side and we got a good incentive to do the work. And along with that, we prepared a dictionary for the language, Halbi Hindi.
Since in this people group, and as we are privileged, they too have the right to read God's word in their own mother tongue. Halbi. Finally, as the Halbi New Testament is published, what we witness today is the epic moment of the release of the Halbi New Testament. All that they can say today is that the Lord has done all things well and He is able. He has provided. Please do continue to pray for the translation team as they work towards the final publication of the whole Bible in Halbi. Babu and Grace solicit your prayers.
Thank you. I know that you may have some questions to ask me regarding the ministry, that we can have a little time later on. Now, it has not mentioned there, we have produced VBS material for the community. It is in their language, we are using that. And also, we have a song album and Jesus DVD in this language. So it is all taking a lot of time. And this is the Halbi New Testament. So we are working on the Old Testament now. So you can pray for that. And for the children's program, some of these are the prayer items. Thank you so much for your patient listening. And now we have 10 minutes, so we will go to the word, and please turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. Chapter 15 verses 1 to 7. So I will just say, for an introduction, we will read that. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Listen to me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you." For a long time, Israel was without the true God, without a priest to teach, and without the law. But in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought Him, and He was found by them. In those days, it was not safe to travel about, for all the inhabitants of the lands were in great turmoil. One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. So here we see about King Asa, king of Judah. And he was a godly king. There were many kings in Israel. They are not God-fearing. But in Judah, there were few kings. But when Asa took over as king of Judah, what was the situation? That we read in verse 2. verse 3. For a long time, Israel was without the true God. Israel was without the true God. So what do they have? They are without true God. Then what do they have? False gods. Isn't it? Idols. False gods. Gods of the nation. So they were worshipping. They have left the living God and started to worship idols. In such a situation, Asa became the king of Judah. And not only that, it says, without a priest, no pastor, no elder, no deacons. Without a priest. And it goes on to say, without the law. Without the law. How can a nation exist without law? And it is talking about the law given by Moses. And they have forgotten the living God. There is no place for pastors or priests and no place for the law. Imagine that situation. And in such a situation, Asa became the king. And in verse 4, we read like this, in their distress, they turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found by them. And that is the same message given to Asa by the prophet. The verse 1 we read, the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. He went out to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you when you are with him, and so on. So the Lord sought the Lord, and they were found by the Lord. And the prophet encouraged Asa, as we read in verse 7. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. So the prophet telling Asa, take the leadership and be strong. We have to be strong in our faith, otherwise we cannot stand for the truth. So be strong, do not give up. It is very easily we give up things. You know, we even spiritual things, we pray to God, we ask God to help, and nothing happens, we give up on praying and whatever. But here, the prophet is saying, do not give up your work, for your work will be rewarded. God will honor your work. It is going to be rewarded. So Asa took courage and he did so much change in that society. And what he did in the same chapter, we read what are the things he did. And because of that, we read in verse 8. When Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Azariah, son of Oded, the prophet, he took courage. He took courage and he was strong in his faith. So what he did, he removed the detestable idol from the whole land of Judah and Benjamin and from the towns he had captured in the hills of Ephraim. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was in front of the portico of the Lord's temple. So it goes on to say what he did. He cleaned up the church and people started to worship God, and he destroyed all the idols, and he was bringing back, revival, or bringing back people to the living God. And because he did all these things, as we read chapter 9, the second part of verse 9, for large numbers had come over to him from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. and the neighboring country or neighboring people came over because they saw that God is with Asa. So they understood he is not joking. He is doing the things for God and God is with him. So he could lead the people to a covenant with God, as we read in verse 14. They took an oath to the Lord with loud acclamation, with shouting and with trumpets and horns. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. So he could bring back to the people to the living God. They promised wholeheartedly with the people. They sought God eagerly and he was found by them. So the Lord gave them rest on every side. So they enjoyed peace from every side, inner peace and outer peace. Individually, they exercised peace from God and also peace from the nation. And then Asa started out well. He did so much reformation or so much changes in the community. He brought about a transformation in the community and people are brought back to the living God. But we see that he continued well. Even he asked his queen mother, grandmother, to step down. And he did everything boldly. But what happened to him at the end? He could not finish well. Chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. So he did everything well. Went on here, we read about 37, 38 years. He ruled the country. It all went very well. But here he did something foolish. The word of the Lord came to him and strongly warning him, you have done a foolish thing, and from now on, you will be at war. So this is a strong warning for us in our spiritual journey, in our spiritual life. We may be doing well, but always we have to watch where we have gone against the word of God. The warning is given to us to watch our steps, watch our spiritual condition, spiritual health. You know, we depend on the past victories and live today. But we have to have spiritual victory every day. And that will keep us spiritually, you know, under good blood pressure. You know, we have to check our spiritual condition. Otherwise, what will happen? So, when the word of the Lord came, he did not obey. It goes on to say that he put the prophet in prison and beaten up many people, and he didn't repent. And he was so bitter with the Lord. Like Hezekiah, he didn't repent, and he had to have a sad, you know, life. So the word of God is giving us warning, saying that, you know, we may be a Christian for many years, but always we have to be in tune with God. In God's presence, you know, we cannot depend on the past. Every day, living with God, living, listening to his voice, and being obedient to his voice, and obeying him can only give us a good end. You know, we started well, continued well, but we have to finish well. May the Lord continue to minister to us. Thank you for 2 minutes over. Sorry for that. Father, we want to thank you that your word is given to us for our nourishment. And also, we thank you that your word can warn us. And we thank you for this time we could spend together. Thank you for everyone here. And we thank you for the gospel witness going through this church. We pray that you will continue to speak to us and continue to help us to be found in your will. And I thank you once again for giving me this opportunity, and thank you all the oversight for giving me this opportunity. Now we commit us to you as we go to our homes. We pray that you will undertake for us on the way and keep us safe until we reach our destinations. Thank you for listening to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.